Welcome back. In this episode, I'm going to go over a binge-worthy show, some notable Kickstarters, and what you really need to get started homebrewing. I'm Eddie Stanton, and this is House Rules and Homebrews. Before I get started, I would like to give the guys at Shattered Tabletop Games a shout-out. They have an awesome RPG that they came out with a year or two ago, and now they are hinting toward, or not even hinting toward, they're showing pictures of a board game that they created in that same universe. The universe that they created was magnificent, and I really can't wait to play this new board game that they have. So make sure you go check them out at shatteredtabletopgames.com. So let's get into the first thing that I wanted to talk about, which is streaming and binge watching. And now that streaming is kind of the norm. I don't even have a cable box, so my cable provider is Sling. Yeah, you know, the funny Sling commercials with the guy from Parks and Rec. I have a $20 streaming service from Sling. I have Hulu for $5 a month, and then I have Amazon Video, and I have Netflix. So I have basically all my bases covered. And before I talk about how I really like this new show that came out on Amazon Prime Video, I would like to tell you some of the shows that I watch, so maybe you can compare it to that or whatever, but some of the shows that I'm super like addicted to, let's see, Stranger Things, Handmaid's Tale on Hulu. Let's see here. So The Walking Dead, which is AMC, but I can watch that on Sling. Man, there's so many of them. So The Punisher, the Netflix show, The Punisher that came out was really good, and I'm super disappointed that they're not making another one. But the latest show that I started watching yesterday, and I was just up like a sleepless night last night with my daughter, with spit up on my shoulder, and I just binge watched the crap out of this show, and it was so good. But it's called The Boys on Amazon Prime Video, and I found out later, actually when I finished the last episode, I just happened to catch it, that it's based on a comic book of the same name. And I looked into it, and I actually started talking to people on social media, and they said that it is different, and they toned down for the show, which is crazy because the show is pretty graphic, and there's a lot of sexual situations in it. But it's such a good show. So it's kind of, it's about superheroes, but it's like if superheroes were real. So I could just imagine that if I was a superhero, I would just be a complete jerk to everybody. Because you're like the man. People can't live without you. And that's kind of what this show is about, is how superheroes are kind of just doing whatever they want. And to make it even worse, they're all like privatized from this corporation that owns the rights to these superheroes. So everything that they do is scripted by this company. So it's a lot like if a company was to really do this, that's what they would do. Like, oh, it's everything is in the show is like, oh, you're up so many points and oh, you're down so many points. You have to, you know, say something to increase, you know, your likeness out there, I guess. But that's what it is. And then you have this group of guys, the boys, that are kind of going after them because of reasons that I won't get into. I don't want to ruin anything, but these guys are trying to hunt down and kill these supes, is what they call them, the superheroes. And the show is just, it's so good. I started watching it, and I would say probably halfway through the first episode, I'm like, oh, okay, this is definitely something that I could get into. And then it's just, you know, the little box in the right hand corner of your TV. Every time a new episode, it's like, oh, you can do one more. You could do one more. And I think there's only 8 hours. They're about hour long episodes. And I just blasted through them in overnight. And I'm kind of disappointed that I did, because now I don't know when another season. I think this one just came out, so I have to wait at least a year to watch another season of it. But what I am going to do, and I already did, is I downloaded, and if you have Amazon Prime, if you go on your Kindle, you download the Kindle app, it's free, the first book, but you can read it. And I started reading it. And even though I know it's going to be different just from what people are saying on social media, I know it might be toned down and it's not going to ruin anything. I just still want to be a part of that story. That's how good it was. And I really, really recommend it. Tell me if you guys like it, because it is a really, really good show. But as for the board games this week, there was really only two of them, two Kickstarters that really piqued my interest. And the first one was Sleeping Gods, and that's a Red Raven Games game. And I think I never know how to pronounce his last name. His name is like Ryan Lockett or Lockett or something like that. But he made a game called Above and Below, and a lot of his games. He also has other ones that are kind of the same deal where it's a game, but then there's also a story, kind of a story mode in it. So in like Above and Below, you are like a worker placement on kind of like a farm where you're trying to get food and make houses and you're trying to recruit people. And it's just kind of a typical worker placement. And then you go on these, and this is really the part that I like about his games, is you have to go on like this quest almost, or these little excursions through caves, and you're reading a story and making choices. And he does this very well in the book, in the writing in the books. I really, really like it. And what I like probably the most about this is you guys know that I'm always into trying to get more people into board games. And a lot of people that I come across, they don't want to do these story, choose your adventure type things. And I really have no idea why, whether it's like reading in a group. I know when I first started, I hated reading these stories in a group. I would always stutter and stuff like that. But I really like a game like this where you're doing a kind of a traditional board game at first. So this worker placement where you're recruiting people and farming and, you know, getting resources. But then it almost sneaks in this story mode, which makes people, you know, make these choices. And I really like that. And from what it sounds like, this Sleeping Gods game is a lot of the same. You're doing kind of the same thing, but you're on a boat and you're doing quests to find totems to kind of please the gods so you can go back home. And it seems like it's going to be a pretty standard Ryan Lockett, I guess, game. But what I really, really, really like is this is going to be a campaign type game. So in Above and Below, you're just doing these one shot missions and you're not, they really don't, you know, you do get points and stuff like that if you complete them, but it's not like they're really changing the game. Well, this seems like that's what it's going to be. Your choices early in the game can affect later in the game. And I'm really excited to see this. Now, I don't want this to get confused with, at least from my understanding, with a legacy type game. Because I feel like a legacy type game is you're changing the game as you go. So you think of like Pandemic Legacy, and maybe Pandemic Legacy Season 1, you are you know, you're altering the diseases and the viruses and stuff like that, and you're putting things on the map. But Legacy, Pandemic Legacy Season 2, you're actually, like, exploring this map and building it as you go. And I don't think this game is going to be like this. I think it's more of, like, just a campaign thing. So, like, you were going to play through a video game, and then maybe you play it again. And the other plus side, at least from what they're saying, is you can kind of swap out players here and there, where... In another, like, you think a game like a legacy game like Pandemic Season 1 or Season 2, you kind of need that same group all the time, or you're going to miss, you know, part of the stories. But from what they're saying about this one is you can kind of, you know, mix and match your gaming group, which is really, really good, because it's hard. It's really hard sometimes to get that same team together every single weekend. But that one I am looking forward to. There's another game that's also on Kickstarter, and it is called Shovel Knight. Now, you may have heard of it. It was also a funded Kickstarter in a mobile game. It's a video game that's on, I think it's on basically every platform. I'm not sure if it's on every platform, like Xbox, PlayStation, and the Nintendo Switch, but it is also on Steam, and I think it might even be on Android. But what you're doing in the game is you're basically just going through levels. It's like a 80s, like a regular Nintendo side-scrolling type game where you're digging and you're killing monsters and you're collecting gold. And it's a very good, very, very popular video game. Well, they have started, and it, as of a few days ago, it was doing pretty well. They have started the Kickstarter campaign for the board game. And I like the game, and I like the video game. And there is one thing, like, you're doing all of the same things that you do in the video game. So you're traveling through levels, you're beating the crap out of monsters with a shovel, you're jumping over obstacles, and you're collecting gold, and there's going to be boss fights, and all of that is great. And it's exactly like the game. But what they did with this mechanism that really makes me like it, like, it's such a stupid thing for me to like this game or want this game because of it. But their side-scrolling mechanism is pretty cool. So you're going to be moving through these levels, and it's like a tile, but it's like a long tile with three or four spaces on it. And you start on that tile, and you'll be moving from tile to tile to tile, from left to right, or right to left, whichever way you're sitting at the table. And as you move from a tile, from one tile to another, you're going to move it, get rid of that tile, and add a tile at the end. So it's kind of always cycling out to give it a really nice side-scrolling type look. It was just when I saw that, I'm like, this is like a genius idea. As silly as it is, and as simple as it is to kind of remove tiles and bring tiles in that way, it just really looked like it was a side scroller, and I really like that about it. What I liked about another thing that I like about this is it's always nice to try and bring non-board gamers into a board game like this. And I've said this so many times before that these video games that they convert over to board games, they work well. They are good for getting somebody that doesn't necessarily play board games to play a board game, because maybe they won't play a game like Mystic Veil or Seven Wonders or Sagrada. They will come to play a game that is like Fallout or this one, Shovel Knight. And I like that. I like being able to bring this to my family when I go to a party and try to get them into that type of game. So this one, the first one, Sleeping Gods, is one that I really do want to back. But the Shovel Knight game, I think that that is actually one that I am going to back. I think there's a lot of pros for it. It is kind of steep for what it is, because if you back like the minimum amount, which is like $40, it's pretty basic, and I don't think you get really anything. They might be like cardboard monsters that are going to be on there, but for you to get, they have miniatures for all these characters and all these monsters. They have miniatures that they make, but that backing amount is, you know, $70, and that's a pretty steep. I don't know. It just seems pretty steep for what it is. I mean, you're getting what is maybe 20 miniatures for that. You look at a CMON game, which, yeah, I mean, it's $100, so it is $30 more, but you're getting a whole box of miniatures for that. And it is kind of steep, but I really do want those miniatures. That's it's just something that I am excited about, and I'm excited for that to come out. But I think that was it for Kickstarters and I can't think of any other games that really piqued my interest this week that I really haven't played anything. On a side note, my daughter has been sleeping much better, so I guess I have time to play stuff, but let's see how long that lasts. But yeah, there's nothing really that I can think of that I really, really want to play that, you know, that popped up this week. But let's go right into this homebrewing section. And I'm kind of excited to talk about this, because I know I've talked about homebrewing and stuff like that, but I feel like this is, you know, I start with board games, so I feel like the people that are listening to this aren't necessarily a homebrewer, but maybe they like it and they just want to know more about it. So I figured I would talk about the bare minimum stuff that you need to start, and it's surprisingly cheap to start with. Like, you only need one or two pieces of equipment. You can start with probably a pot that you already have, so you just need something to hold, I would say, probably a 2.5 gallons of water, maybe, especially if you're doing an extract kit, which I will get to. I started with a $50 Mr. Beer kit, which I didn't like so much, but it worked. I mean, my first beer was all extract, and it was easy to make, but it was a 2-gallon batch in this Mr. Beer kit. But to make it a little better, and you can experiment a little more, just use a pot, or if you don't have one, just go out to a yard sale or a, you know, consignment shop, and you can find a 3-gallon pot or something, like a 5-gallon pot. And that's all you need to start for the boil. What you would need along with that, though, is an extract kit. So extract kits are a little bit different than... I've been talking a lot about all-grain brewing. And all-grain brewing is when you're buying, you know, 15, 20 pounds of grains. You're putting that in a separate vessel or a separate pot, and you're just kind of steeping them, or you're recirculating water through them, however you want to extract the starches or the starches and convert them into sugars. But an extract kit is they've already done that. So you'll get a little can full of like 2-roll malt, and it comes out like very sticky molasses, because all it is sugar. That's somebody's already done that extract process for you. And what this is good for is you can start with much less water. That's why you could still make a 5-gallon kit, but you're only going to be making, you know, you're only going to have to boil 2.5 gallons. And that's huge for starting. I mean, that's how a lot of us started out, is these extract kits. And eventually you will get, eventually you'll get bored of them, and you'll want to experiment a little bit more, and you'll want to do the whole process. And it does get fairly expensive when you start, you know, taking the step to buy a mash tun and separate things to start doing that, especially to bring up your efficiency and breaking down that into breaking down the starches into sugars. But all you really need is a pot that you probably already have. And I would say if you go and buy a bucket, you can go to Home Depot, Walmart. Really, you could probably go to Walmart or Target or any of those big box stores and buy everything that you need. You need a spoon, something to stir stuff in a pot with. And you need a couple buckets. And the buckets are what you're going to be fermenting in. So if you buy a 5-gallon bucket, we'll say 2 5-gallon buckets in a pot, that's it. You could really start, and then the kit can be $40 to $50 to brew the beer or to for the ingredients. But you figure you can go to Home Depot and buy a bucket for about $5, maybe $3. And that's it. You'll need to. The only thing you will need to do to modify, to start anyway, is you'll have to drill holes into the lids of the bucket and put an airlock in it. And let's go through why you need the buckets first. So after you're done brewing these beers and cooking it for an hour and letting it boil, and depending on the recipe, adding hops or whatever you're adding in the boil. Some people add like chocolates and stuff like that for stouts. You then are going to cool that down, which all you would do is take that pot, put it in your sink, and surround it with ice. That's called an ice bath. So you're trying to cool that down to about 70 degrees. So you're going from 212 degrees, because that's what water boils at. You're going from 212 degrees down to 70. Now, later on, you're going to want to cool that down faster, because that really helps with contamination issues. So the faster you can cool this and get into the fermenter, the less chance you have for contamination. But just starting like I did, I would boil for an hour, and then I would put it into a little sink with ice around it, and that would cool it down. It takes a little bit, but it works. You keep a pot on, or you keep a top on the pot, so, you know, limits the air exposure. But you cool it down that way. And once you cool it down to 70 degrees, you're then going to be taking that and dumping it into one of those buckets. And then you're adding your priming sugar, which is for the yeast, and you're pitching your yeast. So that's really it. So once you go into that fermenter and you have your priming sugar going, your yeast, and you put your cap on, you put this little airlock with some star sand, which is a sanitizer, and that allows no air in, but the CO2 that the yeast is creating while converting all those sugars into alcohol, it allows that to escape. And eventually, you know, you don't even really need, if you're just brewing beer, eventually you need stuff to measure gravity, that if you really want to know what your alcohol content is, but you don't. You're making beer, you know there's alcohol in it. You don't really need that stuff. What you need is this basic stuff. Yeah, you won't know what your alcohol content is. So once your friend's like, because that's always a question. Like once you're like, hey, I have a beer. Like the first question is either what kind and what's the alcohol content. But you really, I mean, for your first couple of brews, you really don't need to know that stuff. You will know what kind of beer it is, and you'll have a range of what that beer will be because it will be on the packaging. But that's all you really need. You need your kettle, which is a pot that's probably sitting in your cabinet right now. And you need two buckets that you drill holes in and put airlocks in. So what the second bucket is for is after a week or two, you're trying to have a lot of that stuff settle out. And there's two ways to do this. This is called racking, when you go from one bucket to another. So the first bucket you're creating, it's really where most of your alcohol is coming from, is that primary fermentation. And then you're taking that and you're putting it into a secondary vessel and trying to leave behind a lot of the stuff that's like dropped out. So you don't want a whole bunch of stuff in this. But that's there are ways, and you can buy a siphon, which is another cost, but you really, if you pour it very, very carefully, you can keep a lot of that behind. So you'll just pour it slowly and you'll wait till you start seeing a lot of stuff carrying over, and then you just kind of stop pouring. You might lose a little volume as far as beer, but it's that easy. You put that cap on, another airlock, and you let it sit for a little bit. And the last cost, depending on how you're going to go about this, and the cheapest way to do this is to go on Amazon and just buy, you know, bottles, the regular beer bottles. They can't be twist cap. So you need to buy the bottles, and you need to buy the caps and a capper. So I would say, out of all of this stuff, if you, even if you had to buy a pot, I would say you're in it for less than $80, definitely less than $100. And you're making your first beer. So once you, the bottles, once you go from there, you can start, you know, pouring into, and you won't really be able to pour into your bottle. So you're going to need the siphon for that, or a little, even like a spigot at the bottom of your secondary fermenter, your secondary bucket. And then you'll be filling your beers that way. But you can, I mean, you really don't need that siphon. You could do it very, you sanitize everything, and then you can just start a siphon yourself. I mean, I did do this once, and actually it went out fine. Is once you, if you suck on, if you ever tried to like siphon the gas out of a gas tank or something, you know, create that vacuum when you suck on the hose, and then you put it in there, and then put your thumb over it and do it that way. The only problem with that is you are risking contamination. So the best possible way to do that is just to buy the siphon, which it might be $10. And then that makes it even easier to keep, you know, a lot of the solids out. But that's like, that's it. That's all you really need to get going brewing. And it's very easy. And honestly, if you want help and I can search for stuff for you, just contact me via email, or you can even, you know, reach me on social media, and I can show you the cheapest way, or I could send you some stuff for the cheapest way to get brewing, because it's so easy to do, and it's so fun to do. And I really want one. I really want board gamers to do it, because I feel like the, especially now, the whole, this board games have become such a crafty type thing, and like there's people making board games all the time, especially with Kickstarter. It's like a really a craft thing. Like they have craft ice cream, they have craft breweries, and they have craft board games. And I just feel like it's a really good hobby to be in, and it takes an hour, maybe we'll say 3 hours on one day to do it, and then some waiting time, you know, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, maybe a month before you're drinking. But it's a very, very fun hobby, and I really encourage you to at least try it out. If you already have this stuff laying around, you can, you know, clean it out and sanitize it, and you can really get going and hit the ground running and just trying it out. But that's it for this week. I look forward to hearing your feedback. And I really, really hope you guys try homebrewing and then definitely start binge watching this show, because it is a good one. If you are into superheroes and stuff like that, you will really enjoy the kind of twist that this show has done. But until next time, play more games and brew more beers. See ya.